want to know is why men aren't in church. It is now admitted by everybody, even those who didn't want to admit it, the Promise Keepers types, that men just aren't coming to church, and they just aren't coming to church more and more. Now, I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're staying home, but they're definitely letting their wife and kids go to church. You know the single greatest determiner of whether your kids will be church-going Christians is not whether mom goes to church, but whether dad goes to church? So we're looking at a generation presently in church where there are fewer and fewer men. Which means, if the trend holds, we're looking at the next generation of fewer and fewer people in church, and maybe even fewer and fewer men. Some people have approached it from the feminization of Christianity angle. Others have approached it from the emasculization of Christianity angle. What's happening probably we'll have to wait and evaluate in the retrospect of history. There are some explanations for why men aren't in church. The big question is, what does the church do to get them back? It's Audio Open Lines in the last hour of Issues, Etc. Today, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Tuesday, November the 21st. We're going to be listening here to a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on men in church and what some churches are doing. They think they're going to be able to bring the men back through this answer that they're offering, and we'll let you hear about it here in just a moment. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Before we start this piece of audio from PBS Religion and Ethics News Week, let's go to the phones, and we'll talk first with Miles, who calls from his car. Miles, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. In addition to their sinfulness, I think men are not in church because it's feminized and because their participation in the important matters of the church is not demanded. The decisions of the church are concentrated in a very small group of men and women.
When you say it's feminized, be specific, Miles. What do you mean by that?
I'd rather not.
Okay, then answer this one for me. I'll let you go. What does the church need to do to get them back?
Say that it needs them. Engage itself in a very messy sort of democratic process that sort of demands their involvement in important things.
So let me see if I'm hearing you correctly. Basically say we need you to help us run the church and then require their participation?
I don't mean, require it by rules, but in attitude, be covetous of that involvement. But it's very messy. It means that the decisions are going to be much more difficult and messy is the best word I can think of. So instead of aggregating instead of concentrating the decisions in smaller and smaller numbers, you got to go back to very, very active and let's just say active voter assemblies, things like that.
All right, Miles, thank you very much for the call. Okay, there's one theory on why it's happening. He wouldn't specify what he means by feminized. I guess you can fill in the blank. And one theory on how to fix it. Is that what it is? Do we need the church to essentially say, look, we can't run without you? And getting people involved, as what Miles was describing, their democratic process by which everybody has to have a part in the decision-making process. Is it that men have noticed, hey, these things run around, the church runs pretty fine without me adding anything to it, I'll let that small group run the church, and perhaps I won't even show up at all. Miles has said his two cents. What about the rest of you? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The diagnosis is easy. It is the prescription that is tricky. Let's listen to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on men in church.
A darkened room. On the screen, a film about Scottish warriors. A movie theater? No. Try Sunday worship. This is the Grove Community Church in Peoria, Illinois, a self-described men's church. Mark Dobler, the bongo-playing pastor, says Christian men have been neutered.
we're not saying that we shouldn't be gentle and humble and serve people, but there's a flip side to that which says, you know, we have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
The congregation meets in what used to be a nightclub. The ambiance is decidedly masculine.
She saw the pastor on stage had open collar and blue jeans, and he was speaking to me man to man. It wasn't a polished sales pitch or anything like that. It was he was speaking to me on a man-to-man level.
So guys walk in and they feel like, okay, this is a place that at least understands me. And most women are okay in a guy's environment.
I think it's really important to get the guys here, because if you get the guys, then you'll get the rest of the family.
Dobler calls himself not the men's pastor, but their coach.
Let's pause here for a moment. Here's one solution that's being proffered by this church, and that is, what we really need to get men back in church is to create a guy's environment. So you got a bongo-playing pastor. He refers to men as warriors. He addresses these men in a down-to-earth kind of blue-collar, open-collar, blue jeans way, and the men seem to respond. The women don't mind it too much either. Is that the solution? Do we need, essentially, men's church to bring men back to church? Now, men seem to be the one demographic that are staying away from church. The pastor says, look, men have been neutered. Christian men have been neutered. I might agree with that in a limited sense. But is this the solution? Men's church. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be hearing a little bit more from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly on men in church in just a moment. Chris writes this from Carson City, Nevada. He says, I don't go to church because it's boring. I go to men's group where we discuss Romans. I go to a discipleship class with one of the elders. The service itself just bores me, he says. It's bad music about my feelings and dumbed down sermons, and I just don't enjoy it. I'd rather read someone like Schaefer or Luther on a Sunday. Also, there's been some good football on lately. Well, there certainly has. Thank you very much, Chris. Thanks for listening in Nevada. Thanks for the honesty. Is this typical? I mean, I want to know from you women out there, you've got husbands at home. Maybe they are at home on Sunday morning. Maybe they're willing to go to Bible class or to a fellowship group. But church, as Chris says, is bad music, watered down sermons. Has the church been feminized? And if so, is the answer to masculinize the church? Men's church, that'll get them back. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Back to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. They're doing this feature on men in church.
It helps them identify with me, and it helps me understand what my role is, which is to really challenge them to be the best they can be, to praise them when they do well, to challenge them when they do poorly, and to create a team environment.
At the end of the service, the men go into a huddle.
There's a very spiritual component to that, and it is equipping and challenging guys to be spiritual leaders in their home.
What Dobler is doing could not be done in most churches. This is his approach to making Christianity more attractive to males.
One, two, three. Warriors!
There doesn't seem to be one single reason why many men feel uncomfortable in church. Different men give different reasons. If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine. A woman thing.
There is a reputation among men that church is something for women, weirdos, and wimps.
David Murrow's book, Why Men Hate Going to Church.
Over the years, there's been a gradual feminization of a lot of our practices. There's been an emphasis on relationships, nurturing, close-knit community. Men are into challenge, adventure. Men, especially young men, like conflict and change, and these are the sorts of things that are downplayed in church today.
Now, Murrow's right and he's wrong. In fact, I participated in an interview with David Murrow when I was sitting in with the guys from the White Horse Inn last year sometime. And Michael Horton conducted an interview. We were there in the studio. Why Men Hate Going to Church. Murrow diagnosed the problem correctly. You just heard him do it. His response, his solution was, I think he said something like football church. He thought, well, men like football. Men don't like church. Let's bring football into church. That was his response. Men need to be challenged. Is this the answer? Pastor didn't call himself a pastor. He calls himself a coach. At the end of every service, he gets the men into a huddle. He challenges them to be all they can be. Is men's church the answer? Let's go back to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's audio open lines. Robert is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, I really resonate with the guy that says that church is boring. I've been having lots of conversations. I have a mentor from the seminary here in St. Louis, and we actually talked about this one day at Colby's. And he actually agreed with me to some extent because, in his opinion, was that church is basically a microcosm of the great drama of all of the creation. It's a great drama. And so if that is so, then church ought to be the most exciting thing ever. It ought to be the most engaging thing. Because it is the great drama. We're in it. It's the grand conversation that we're having with one another, meaning us and God. And so I don't understand how football makes it more masculine or helps out more, but everybody loves a good drama. And I wonder if that's a good place to start as we examine how to get people back together and into the ecclesia, as it were.
All right, Robert, thank you very much. So maybe we need to reemphasize that church isn't boring. Usually, though, I'll just tell you how my teenage kids would respond to this. When Dad says something isn't boring, by definition, that means it is. You try and tell men, hey, we got church for you, and it ain't boring. Probably means it is, and you're trying to convince yourself. Look, I got no problem with church being boring. I got no problem with church being boring. You know why church is boring to me? Because I'm a sinner. I'm a poor, rotten sinner that finds the very things of God, the mysteries of God, the forgiveness of sins, the preaching of the gospel, these treasures of God, I find them boring. And I find them boring because I'm that sinful. But just because I'm bored doesn't mean God can't do his thing. All right, we've had a couple solutions here. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Josh, who calls from his car. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Todd. I just wanted to say that I don't think that church sounds very manly to me. It sounds almost like a woman's way of looking at the problem and saying, oh, we want to affirm that you're a man. We want to, help you engage your masculinity.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that was my reaction. Stay with this, Josh. That was my reaction exactly. I thought to myself, this sounds like, oh, nothing against women. Please, ladies, don't get offended. This sounds to me like a woman's idea of what men would like in church. come on, let's just put up the streamers and the football helmets and put a couple football helmets on the altar, and that'll attract the men in. This kind of notion that all you got to do is somehow raise the level of testosterone in the room, and men will somehow walk in like zombies. Ah, church, must have more church.
Seems more like a birthday party that you throw for some six-year-olds and make them feel like big boys, you know?
Ooh, Josh, hit the nail right on the head. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's talk with Steve, who calls from his car. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Todd. How are you?
Doing well.
Real interesting question. I think this whole subject, ties in a lot with some of the other things you've talked about, the church growth movement, the bad theology out there. I think the first question when somebody says church is boring, or it's a kind of a generality. Are we talking about the Lutheran service? Are we talking about a Pentecostal service? Are we talking about your pop evangelical service? So I think, number one, I think this commentary is kind of painting things with a broad brush. But if you're talking about the common evangelical service, which is a background I was in before I became a Lutheran, I think there is a lot of feminization to the whole church and the service, and big emphasis on feelings and emotions and community, as I think you stated earlier.
But I'm also kind of wanted to address some of your callers here. And I think there's also some bad or maybe some bad theology or doctrine involved. And I've had a lot of people calling, talking about church service being boring or not engaging enough. And I think maybe they're going to it for the wrong reasons. I mean, we're not going to church to be entertained.
Steve,
there's another purpose.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. Okay, see, if the standard is what keeps my attention, I can guarantee you, I am classic baby boomer. You know the definition of the baby boom generation? Long lifespans, short attention spans. We live a long time, and we get bored very easily. The years that we will spend in a nursing home at the end of our long, long, long lives will be largely taken up with us demanding that someone entertain us. We will be. We're going to be toothless, old, grumpy men and women sitting in our nursing home beds, pounding our canes on the end of the bedpost, demanding that the nurses come in and do the cha-cha-cha for us because we're bored. We will be sitting, we're bored. Can you see it? A nursing home full of baby boomers all in their 80s, sitting around their tables getting ready for their lunch, all pounding their canes on the ground saying, we're bored, we're bored. The screen in the nursing home will have to be 40 feet wide and 20 feet tall because, of course, we won't be able to see it, and it will have to have constant explosions and laser light shows and everything like that because baby boomers have long lifespans and short attention spans. I'm one of them. And if the standard for Sunday morning, keeping me a man in church, is keep me entertained, you will never be able to keep up with me. Never. I find the evangelical services so painfully boring. I find them painful for other reasons. I feel it in my gut when I have to attend one of them. And it's not only because I feel like a man standing outside the dressing room while my wife tries on the dress in the ladies' department, but it's also because I'm intensely bored. Now, that's part of my sinfulness. So I cannot judge the evangelical services as deficient simply because I find them so painfully boring. Because my attention span is no gauge of what is right or wrong or good or bad. There has to be an objective standard here, doesn't there? I mean, the church, instead of saying, let's try this, let's try that, let's try and entertain them, let's try and draw them in with the sports themes, there's got to be something better than man's church. Let's go back to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, hear a little bit more of this, and then we'll get to your phone calls, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The early Christian church was dominated by men. Depending on whom you talk to, men began slipping away from church as long ago as the Middle Ages. In other religions, men play a prominent, even dominant role. Christianity has been described as a case of male generals leading an army of women.
Women, by default of men's participation in leadership, have been forced into leadership, and they have simply created an environment that is friendly to them, and they don't understand why men don't want to draw into that.
This is Jack Elwood's congregation in the Virginia suburbs of Washington. On Veterans Day, it went a step further than most churches in honoring the military. There is a large military component here anyway, but Elwood makes a serious effort to reach out to all men. Things like this, as well as a fast-moving liturgy and short, focused sermons by Pastor Elwood, send the message that men are important here.
You can tweak a worship service to have more masculine vocabulary. For example, you can focus on challenge rather than comfort.
Come to Jesus.
All right, there's another explanation, another possible solution. Men like patriotism, don't they? They like militaristic themes. Let's play the Navy theme, the Marine theme. Let's play the Air Force theme on Sunday morning. That'll attract the men in. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Talking about men in church, listening to and reacting to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly's feature on men in church. Let's go to the phones and talk with Mark, calling from his cell. Hi, Mark.
Yes, hi, Pastor. It may be as easy as just the women need to tell the men that they need to go to church on Sunday. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I mean, we may not be capable of remembering to do whatever it is we're supposed to do with the toilet seat up or down. But, I mean, if my wife tells me that something's important, I'll do it, you know, or I'll make a good effort to do it.
Okay, now that might, I'm thinking in practical terms. Thank you very much, Mark, for the call. Yes, if the wives encourage their husbands, but I suspect that there's generations and generations of wives who have reminded their husbands how important it is that they go to church, and men still don't go to church. I doubt these women are just saying, okay, honey, you stay home. We'll see you in a couple hours. Could the explanation be that men have gotten the idea that somehow the church is supposed to cater to their needs, their whims, their desires, their preferences, their support for any particular sports team? Bruce calls from his car. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Con. I was going to comment. What I have noticed at our church, we go to a Baptist church in Union, Missouri, and we have a pastor there now for 3 years, and I've noticed that we've had some men start coming back into the church since he's been there, and I actually I've wondered, you know, why is that? Men that hadn't really darkened the door for a while, and I attribute it to the message that he preaches, which is a full-hearted, full gospel that addresses sin. He confronts us with our sin. He preaches extensively on the holiness of God, and I think I've likened it to, I've commented to people and said it's a very masculine kind of message, and that it's not just all about love, all about feeling good, all about, you know, I mean, he addresses the kernel of the gospel, and I think any man can recognize himself when confronted with the notion of sin and our flesh and what it brings to the table.
Bruce, thank you for the call. We're coming up on a break. Now, it can't only be sin, but I think that's the beginning. Maybe, could it be that what the church needs to do for men is the same thing that the church needs to do for women and for children and for old people and for one-legged people and for bald people and for people with still who have a full head of hair and for people who are rich and people who are poor? And could it be that maybe what the church has failed to do is preach that message of law and gospel, of sin and grace, of my sinfulness and Christ's sinlessness in my place as the sacrifice for my sin at the cross? Now, that won't necessarily attract people, but it is, in fact, objectively what men, women, children, and every possible demographic you can imagine really need to hear. And by the way, it's the only thing that the church can do. Anyone can hold a sports rally. Only the church can preach law and gospel. We'll be right back with 10 more minutes of Audio Open Lines after this.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Reacquaint yourself with a much-needed history lesson. Ancient history about the debates surrounding the person and work of Jesus Christ in the first several centuries of the Christian Church. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, The Great Jesus Debates. This book is $14.99, and it can be found at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Those locations again, 3558 South Jefferson in the city, or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, The Great Jesus Debates. Check it out at our Issues, Etc. website, issuesetc.org.
Rid the world of evil, or can we?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful, Ken, if we could completely rid the world of evil? Are you possibly suggesting something else here?
Well, to answer your question, Mark, let me put it in this context. After terrorist attacks, people often ask, if God's so good, why doesn't he get rid of all the evil in the world? Well, it's a good question. But if they thought it through, I doubt they really want God to eliminate all evil right now. You see, the Bible says we're all evil and under God's judgment of death. If God gave us what was really coming to us, he'd wipe out everyone on earth. It's actually a sign of God's love and patience that he allows people to continue to live and, yes, to do evil. Of course, this doesn't mean that God likes evil. Not at all. God told Adam that we'll surely die because of sin. There's coming a day when he will rid the earth of evil, though, and cast sinners into the lake of fire. But right now, God's patiently keeping the door open to heaven. He's made a way so that anyone can enter his kingdom simply by trusting in his Son who took upon himself the sins and suffering of an evil world, who died for us and was raised from the dead.
One of the most asked questions we receive at the Answers Ministry is this. If there really was an Adam and Eve, how do you explain all the different people groups? That intriguing question is answered by Ken in a free booklet, which you can find on our website, AnswersRadio.com.
Dr. Jeff Gibbs of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis about why you should support LCMS World Relief.
There is such dire need. Americans are so parochial. We just think about ourselves. We were in Germany last year. The news is international, and you come back to the United States, and all we think about is ourselves. See? But the world is God's world, and God's compassion needs to go out. And LCMS World Relief is one of the great ways that people can actually take what they have and share it with tsunami victims and people starving to death, and they can do it knowing that it will be shared in the name of Christ. Christ will be glorified in LCMS World Relief, and that's why we should support it.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage for their logo, or call them at 314-996-1683, 314-996-1683.
On the next Midday Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. We speak with Melanie Dobson, the author of Together for Good, a novel. And Judith Matz talks about how to prevent holiday overeating this year. It begins at 11:05, Living Jubilee, on AM 850 KFUO.
Well, we are talking about men, why men aren't in church, and what the possible solution is. We got 10 more minutes of audio open lines here on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. I'll get to this email in just a second. Issues, etc. at kfuo.org. One possible solution is men's church. The other solution that was put forth in that PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly piece is, well, what we need to do is we need to have patriotic church, especially up there in Virginia where all those military men are. Make them feel at home with all sorts of flag waving. So, in other words, those two solutions are the church needs to do something other than be the church to attract men. I don't know, for some reason, it just doesn't sit well with me. Let's talk with Dominic, who calls from his car. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
I just want to let you know I'm Catholic, and I've actually worked for 20 years in the Catholic Church as a director of liturgy and have a master's degree in liturgy. And, you know, I've dealt with this in 20 years, you know, and the liturgy's boring. The liturgy's boring. You know, I've heard that over and over again. Well, you know, sometimes I think I had a really wise priest who taught me in the seminary who said, you know, sometimes people are boring. And so it's really, so don't blame it on the liturgy. And the other thing is, you know, outside of Mass and everything else and worship services, I think you get out of something what you put into it. And so if we just, I just think we got to get off this pulpit of entertainment on Sunday. And it's not about us. It's about God.
Dominic, thank you very much for the call. See, he has an insight there. I don't know if I go the whole way with him to all his conclusions, because I don't know what his conclusions would be, but there's an insight there, and that is, if we are telling people, men, women, whoever they are, If the church is saying to them, well, we're here to entertain you, don't you understand? And we fail to meet that bill, they're all within their rights to say, no, I want no more of this. You failed to entertain me. The greatest sin that anyone could possibly commit in American culture, you have failed to entertain me. You've lost my interest. There could be no greater sin in American culture than to lose someone's interest, for heaven's sakes. It's not about us. It's about God. Well, when the church says, men, you're not in church, look, we'll make it more about you. We'll make it more about you. We promise. Then we get solutions like football church and military church. It's not just about God generically, it's about God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the one man who gets lost in all of this talk about men in church. Back to the phones, we'll talk with Scott calling from his car. Hi, Scott.
Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, just a quick comment. I think it's along the lines of what you said before the break and the proper preaching of law and gospel, and I think where the law really starts, and I've only heard it in very few places, is that the father is put on the spot as being the head of the home. And I know something that made a lasting impression on me when my first son was baptized. The pastor turned to me and he said, now, Scott, as the head of the home, you're responsible for training this child in God's word and bring him up. And obviously I fail on that every day, and I thank God for his forgiveness. But, you know, I haven't heard that too many other places, that the man take his rightful spot, and the spot God's given him is that head. And, you know, our culture says, oh, you don't need the man, and so on and so forth. And you know how that's seeped in the church. And I think if we can get back to what God says about the man's role, it would bring men back, because they'll respond to that law and gospel. So that was my comment.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, let's be careful here, lest we say, all we got to do is find the right little trick and men will come flooding back in. Nothing's going to do that. The gospel, the preaching of law and gospel, is not attractive to natural man. It is, in fact, what every man, woman, and child absolutely needs each and every week. But they will not be naturally attracted to it. They're going to find it to be foolishness. So if we're looking for the silver bullet that will get people coming back in droves, football will work better, but the problem is, you can get football any place. In fact, I can get football better staying home and watching ESPN. Mary Lynn calls from Kirkwood. Hi, Mary Lynn. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I believe that the churches need to teach male headship. I believe that's what the guy before me might have said, and also only male suffrage. I think having women voters causes all sorts of problems in the church.
Thank you very much, Mary Lynn. You know, Miles called at the beginning. I think that's what he was trying to say in a sidelong way. I might have misread Miles, but kind of like, well, if we put men back into the democratic process, then it's going to attract them in. Male headship, yes, that's true. The problem with this is there are lots of churches out there teaching male headship. I mean, they're pounding it. Every single Sunday, men is the head of the family and is the head in society. And insofar as that teaching goes, they're probably not getting it that wrong. But you can also get male headship someplace else. You come to church, pastor says, man, you're supposed to be the head of the household. Okay, thanks, got it. And you never need to go back because you've learned your lesson, haven't you? I'm supposed to be the head of the house. Maybe I'll even see to it that everybody gets to church, but what the pastor told me was, I need to know I'm the head of the house. I know that, now the rest of you go, I'm being the head of the house. Carol writes this from St. Louis. Every church needs to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. There's nothing wimpy about that message. Quite true, Carol. Too many churches, even some Lutheran churches, use Rick Warren approach to faith. For example, learning how to make God smile instead of preaching the gospel, the power of God for salvation. Good thoughts, Carol. Lo and behold, the thing that the church needs to do is the only thing that the church has been given to do. Isn't it amazing? It was right under our noses all along. Roland calls from his car. Hi, Roland. Thanks for waiting.
Well, you're so right. I mean, it's that part about wives submit to your husbands. I never read the part past that. If they would just get it. You know, that's the thing. You know, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Well, the focus there is upon Christ's activity for sinners.
Right. And just one other thing, if I can be a shameless plug artist here for a moment. I hate to steal your program, but at Ascension in St. Louis Hills on December 9th, we're having a one-day program on just this topic. And it's going to go from about 9 to 3, and we'll feed you breakfast and lunch. And if you'd like some more information on men in the church and a very erudite speaker in Tom Baker, who's going to be doing the program for us, give us a shout at 832-5600. That's the church office.
All right, Roland, I'll let you get your shameless plug in there. That's fine. Let's get one more phone call in here real quick. Florence calls from Georgetown, California. Hi, Florence.
Hi, Pastor Wilkins. This, I think, is a little bit more complicated than I am wise enough to handle, but I have observed some things here since we've been here about men not coming to church.
Our time is very short, less than
a
minute.
Okay. The first thing, the biggest thing, I think, is that they have been so poorly taught that they don't even know what they're missing. And when they come and they're trying to be drawn in by entertainment or testosterone activity, they are missing out because the teaching still isn't happening. Like you said, the law and the gospel, when it finally hits home, they start coming back. But it is years of bad teaching preceding that.
I think you're absolutely right, Florence. Thank you very much for the call. We're not going to have time to get all the way through the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on men in church. Suffice it to say, I've listened to it, and suffice it to say, you got the meat of it. The two possible solutions that were put forward by the two pastors who think the church is in dire need of bringing men back into the pews, and it is, were football church and military church. Now, both of them seem to be meeting with some success. They got men in church, but what are they getting when they get there? Huddles, a coach, and a pastor who's teaching them to be all they can be? You know, that's not the message of Scripture. It's not the message that Christ would have his church proclaim. The one man that always seems to always get left out of this question about how to bring men back to church is the one man, Jesus Christ. Florence hit the nail on the head there. You know what you do? You know what the church should give men when men darken the door, and give men even when men won't darken their door? Give them something that they can't get anyplace else. Give them something they are in desperate need of, along with their wives and their children and their parents and their grandparents. Give them something without which they cannot live. The life-giving Word of God that addresses us as sinners for whom Christ died. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.